Well, we're going to have communion here this morning. We were having our worship. Well, just to share a few things. It's been over the last, probably at least the last year or so, there's just, I could tell there's things that have been changing in the realm of the Spirit, but sometimes some things are hard to pick up, especially when change comes along. There's one thing, as I found out a long time ago, that 99% of people, and I don't care who you are, don't like change. We like to keep doing things the same way. And going along with things, I just kept getting a sense within myself as like doing things that are good and, you know, the Bible says to do, but somehow things are just, you know, it's sort of like taking a bath with your socks on, you know. It just somehow don't seem to get it, you know. And so, you know, there's one thing as I do is I'm a questioner. I'll ask God about things. I started asking God about things because just things just didn't seem to be going right. And God began to deal with me about things being a change in the Spirit. And also things with change in the church and the direction that the body of Christ. The body of Christ sort of likes to keep doing things. We get into a certain mode that we do things. And so we just practice those things and we just continue. And back, you know, the Lord did, and this was back about 2 years ago, He brought to mind again, and I had a couple times talked about the fact that back in 1987, before I went to Bible school, and the Lord said to me about His return and talked to me about those who have this hope, and the hope is the of getting the new body. He said, when that time comes, He said, that's going to be the major message preached in the church. He said, the return of Jesus Christ. Well, the church doesn't emphasize that, and the church likes to keep practicing the same things. You know, we like the birth of Jesus and the crucifixion. But it's interesting because of this, and the Lord spoke to me about these things, and He said, all the scriptures, He said, concerning my coming to earth have already been fulfilled. So you don't have to try to, we're not looking, He said, you're not looking for those fulfillment of those scriptures. They're already done. That's finished. His death, burial, and resurrection are already finished. All the scriptures that prophesied those things are finished. They're done. So we're not trying to find those things. And those things are in scripture that we look at that are from the standpoint that we know that Jesus is the Messiah. You know, we're not trying to fulfill the scriptures dealing with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's already happened. That's taken place. See, all those things. There's only one thing, and He said to me, there's only one thing that hasn't been fulfilled, and He said the church is not looking for it. And He said it's their fullness of their redemption. He said Christians like being on the earth. He said, they really don't understand. He said, the glory of the full redemption. I want you to understand this. The new birth is wonderful, but if we don't get the full redemption, the new birth ain't going to seem a whole lot to us. We don't understand the importance of it. We don't understand the importance of God's fulfillment. You see, you know, the church, I listen to ministers. Right now there's ministers that are talking about Jesus coming back. They look at things and they talk about, well, you know, they're excited. I don't understand that Christians excited about the thousand-year reign of Christ from the standpoint of, oh, everything's going to be wonderful over there. Well, that ain't for us anyhow. Everything's good. I don't care how that turns out. We're going to be in glorified bodies. The lion and the lamb, whether they lay down together or not, ain't going to mount a hill of beans for you and me. We're going to be glorified. You know, it's like, I just listen to a minister talking about, boy, he can't wait till that takes place. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, what, is he going through the tribulation? Is he going to be? I don't know. It's like, give me a break. That's not what we're looking for. It's not what the church is looking for. That has about the people on the earth who aren't glorified. That's about them. That's not about us. We're gonna, this glorification, and see, we don't have a revelation. The church doesn't, you know, I've taken for granted that people knew things and found out they don't know a thing. People don't know nothing about nothing. And I'm going to tell you why you don't. You don't read the Bible. We read about things we like to hear about. No, but we don't read the Bible. We don't study. We don't ask God questions. Let me just say this. It's one of the things you got to learn to do. And the Lord keeps reminding me of this. And He talked to me about this morning to make sure I tell you this. You know one of the reasons why most people don't get much revelation? Should I tell you why? It's one thing I learned is why I get a lot. I ask. You see, we have taken the faith message and turned it into a physical thing of getting physical stuff all the time. So we turned it into. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. You can ask for things. But that's all. We've taken it to that level, and that's where we kept it. But the Lord spoke to me about the fact, and He reminded me of things about, because I'm a questioner. I ask Him questions all the time. I ask questions. I want to know stuff. I'm curious about things. And He talked to me about, He said, the reason you get the revelation, He said, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and you shall be opened unto you. He said, most of my people are never asking me anything about revelation. He said, they think they're going to get it just because they sit in a church service and listen to somebody preach. He said, they've never asked for revelation and they don't get it. See, you need to understand, it isn't just about sitting and listening to somebody teach. I can tell you for this a fact, in this church, I have had people who have sat for years and years under my teaching, and when it came to the place of time to have faith, they had none. Yet they have heard me teach messages on faith. They heard hundreds of them. And yet when it came time to stand in faith, they had no faith. I've had to sit and talk with them and listen to things they say, and I think, dear God, you'd have thought they were down here in the Presbyterian church. You'd have thought that's where they went the whole time. People think because they go and sit somewhere that you get... No, why would He have said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, and knock, it'll be opened unto you, if you didn't have to do that? Why would Jesus say such a thing? Jesus said that. What is it you want to know? What are you curious about? We have sought things, and the church world as a whole has sought things naturally a lot of natural things, and we've sought them. But we haven't sought the true riches like we should have. Which, if we would have, we'd have probably lived greater blessed lives with the natural stuff. If we would have. See, God wants to reveal, but God has established a system in the earth that God does not move in this earth without our permission. Knowledge does not fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. It will not happen. It does not happen that way. Does it happen in the natural? Is it because you would want to be a certain thing in life, you can just become that? You would never have to seek, knock. You don't have to study. You don't have to do. You don't have to do anything about going after. But somehow there's a thinking when it comes to God's kingdom that things just come to you. And they don't. They don't. And see, this is one of the things that God's been dealing with me. We don't realize how much of the socialism of our nation is in the church. And it's been subtly preached that God's a socialist. That if you had needs, he's gonna meet your need. Not if you don't do something about it. He's not. You can be a wonderful, good Christian, but the Bible establishes what we have to do to get our needs. You know, nobody gets saved. I don't care if salvation's free. You got to go get it. You don't get it just because it's free. You know, my words. I mean, if somebody wants welfare and socialism, they have to go sign up for it at least. Yeah, people don't even sign up for nothing from God and think they ought to get it. See, we got to get this out of ourselves. It's number one, I found out this is what really works. We think somehow, well, why did God set it up that way? It was for our benefit. It's for your benefit. See, God wants you to have desire for what you want. What you don't desire, if He gave it to you, you'll throw it away. You'll treat it like it's nothing. You'll treat it like it's nothing. God wants you to want something. And if you want something enough in your heart to go after Him for it, He'll see to it you get it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's the system. That's the system. It's your desire. So, you know, people say, well, God will give you the desire of your heart. What is, you know, most people, what they want in life isn't even the desire of their heart. It's something in their mind or in their flesh they'd like to have. But in their heart, they have never come to place in their heart that they really want that thing. There's one thing as I learned over time, the things that I really want in my heart, I go after.
Amen.
The things that are not in your heart to have, you'll be willing to bypass them if you have to. You'll be willing to let it go. And so, God wants us to come to the place. See, God is number one. The full redemption is so glorious. I can't believe the church as a whole has just let this thing slide by and just let it go by and not pay much attention to it. Where we haven't come to the place to stay, we want to go. We want the full redemption. We're looking for it. Just think about it. I mean, you go back into the scriptures in the New Testament. They were looking for the return of Jesus Christ. That was, from the beginning, preached. Now think about it. The letters we have to the churches are letters that were written to new churches starting up. And they haven't. They're looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Their full redemption. They want their full redemption. I mean, Apostle Paul wants to be with Jesus so bad. Even when he realizes that he is not going to be staying in this earth long enough to get to see himself get his full redemption from this side, he says, still, my desire is to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. How many people, including yourself, when you think about dying and going to be with Jesus, you think it'd be far better than staying here on the earth with somebody or something? You see, we don't think on the same level they did. We're not thinking on the same level. We don't believe on the same level. But God wants us to come to this because this revival that's coming, this revival is based on leaving, not staying. This next revival is not about everything's wonderful and good all around us and everything's going. The church is going to be leaving and you're going to get persecuted. Because if you really believe you're going to be leaving, you're going to see it you're going to be leaving, and you're going to be telling people, and I'll guarantee you, that's not going to be the popular message with a lot of people. Kenneth E. Hagin, I remember, I heard him prophesy this two different times. The Spirit of the Lord moved through him over the years. I heard him say it two different times. He said, before Jesus comes, he talked about revival, but he said there's going to be a persecution. He said there'll be a great persecution. And he said, it's not going to come from without, it's going to come from within. It's going to come from within the church. The persecution. See, nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes. The persecutors, the people that were looking for the Messiah to come, the majority of them persecuted the people who received the Messiah. They became the persecutors of the one who accepted the Messiah. The number one persecutor of the church was not the Romans or some other group. It was Jews whom the Messiah was and came. And it shall be the same pattern in these last days. The persecutors in the church will be other people who said they accepted Jesus, will not like the move and not like the move of the Spirit. Why? Because it means change. They like church like it is. We're going to have our holidays set and we're going to follow the holidays. We're going to follow the stuff we're going to do. This is going to be our important stuff. How we have been worshiping, not how we're going to worship. They're not going to like it, people saying leave it. Why? Religion loves what it does. It loves what it does more than it loves the Savior. It loves the trappings of the religion more than anything. Over the years, I have had hundreds of people tell me that, you know, they're Christians and they know the church that they're in. They shouldn't even be there. But they'll say, you know, they like the people. They like the stuff. See, the stuff is better. The people are better and more important than Jesus. And they'll lie and tell you they love Jesus. And they don't love Jesus at all. You You're going to live with who you love. That's who you're going to live with. You know, I tell Wanda, I love her all I want, but if I'm living with a neighbor lady, you know, it wouldn't be hard for her to figure out. And many people love a lot of things. And there is a shift in the spirit. There's a lot of things that ain't going to become important anymore in the church. They have been important to people, but not important to God. We need to get focused. I'm telling you this, folks. We're leaving. We're leaving. And this revival is going to come through the people who are leaving. Not the people who are going to be planning on staying. Not the people who are planning on being here. It's through the people who are leaving. Hallelujah. We're leaving. The Lord told me, He said, I told you. He said, I made you a flagman on the highway. You're going to have to start waving the flag, and there's going to be unhappy people because you wave the flag. Because people want to keep it the same old way. See, we're seeing people stray away already. We're seeing church world straying away from the things of God. The things you no longer need, the stuff you don't, you know, doesn't matter, like the virgin birth, different. These things don't matter anymore. Those things aren't important anymore. Sin's not important anymore. There's things, you know. God, their idea of God loving and all kind of stuff, they don't even know Him. But they have all the trappings of things in their church. And people say, well, yeah, they're Christians and they're, are they? Are they? What makes a Christian? Because somebody says, I believe in Jesus? Jesus Christ Himself didn't believe that. He said, they're going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord. And He's going to say, go away. I never even knew you. See, Jesus don't even believe that junk. That's only believed in the church. That's not believed by Jesus. And so things are shifting. The Lord spoke to me about, He said to me about Charles Capps' vision. A couple of days ago, He reminded me of that. And He said about Charles Capps' vision of the funnel of light. And He said, you're living in the days of the funnel of light. He says, I'm calling my people to the center. And He said, the ones who love their religion are following it. They love their religion. They love their religious ideas. They love their churches instead of Christ. They love what they do and their practices. They love those things. You know, you can do things that aren't bad things, but you fall in love with the thing, you're in error. And see, that's what we got to examine what we love. Jesus said this to me. He said, I long for the fulfillment of my people's redemption and them being with me, but they don't long for it. I long for it, but they long for the things of the earth. They like the earth. With all the lousy stuff going on and the complaining, they still love it. Do you know why? Heaven's not real. Heaven is words on a page. It's some nice things that people heard for so long, but they don't sit and meditate on it and read about it in Scripture where it becomes real to them. They don't ask God for revelation about it. They don't ask for that. Now we're asking for stuff. We're asking for things. Let's get over and start asking for the right things. Let's start asking for revelation from God. God's been dealing with me about the redemption of the new body. And I'm going to tell you what, I want one as soon as I can get it. I want one. All the stuff. That's our fulfillment. Our fulfillment is not the book of Revelation. Our fulfillment is not the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's not our fulfillment. The fulfillment of the church is the redeemed, our part. Then Jesus carries out His part. We'll be with Him. But understand, we're going to be like He is. We're not going to be like other humans on the earth. These poor knuckleheads around here, well, we're going to get our stuff back when we come back to the earth. Natural thinking. I'm talking about these big name faith preachers talking this stuff. Dear God. I mean, what you think about this. In the realm of the Spirit, the Bible, you follow even from the Scripture standpoint. If God, there's no time and there's no distance. Number one, what could they give you for flight-wise? What would be a new jet compared to you can be any place in the universe at any second of time and anything? And you think the people, now they still want to have their jets and they still want to have their... I mean, you talk about stupid, moronic people who don't know nothing about God. They are so full of the lust of things that they can no longer see the glory. Is that what we're going to be looking for? Are we going to be looking for houses and lands? And dear God. We finally get our home and it's called Zion where God lives and somebody wants to move in on the earth? I mean, good. Can you imagine what this earth is going to look like after the tribulation? So I can't wait to get back and move in. I don't know. God has doesn't have good for us. He has great for us. It is so great, it's mind-blowing. And God wants us to start. See, there's a time to have desire for certain things when it's the time to have it. And we need to pick that. That's why you need to pick up in the Spirit. You need to start be listening more on the inner man than about the outer man and what stuff's going on. Listen on the inside. To start to pick that up. On the inside of you, what God said, start getting that desire in you, hallelujah, for that fulfillment. See, that's what God is moving toward. That's what this last revival, it's a harvest and gone. It's not going to be years and years of something running. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to be. The church is leaving. I figure just along with Kenneth Hagin, as long as he's been gone since 2003, and he was a signpost by Jesus Christ for the church and the church leaving, getting ready for the church to leave. We're going to be leaving this place. God's put signposts along the way and the church ain't paying a bit of attention. They're not watching. The best thing that you can do for anybody in this earth is to not figure out how you can get them saved because you can't get them saved anyhow. Get over it. Your thing is to do is you get in the middle of will of God so He can use you. That's what you do. You get in the will of God, God uses you. It's not you do something then you use God. That ain't how it works. That ain't the way faith works. The faith works. We get ourselves in position where God could use us. The best thing that we could do is we follow God where God can manifest Himself through the church and carry out His full glory. And there'll be a harvest like you ain't ever seen. It's like the Lord told me concerning like even my family. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, I will take care of your family. He didn't say, well, you find what you think's good to do and what you need to do concerning your family and I'll help you. He never told me that. Never one time in my entire Christian walk, he ever told me to do what I thought was the thing to do. Never one time. Do what He wants done. He said He would take care of my family. Now, most people have done the best they could to take care of their family and it ain't worked well. I'm going to tell you what, it works till you do the will of God and let God do some taking care of. He does better at it than I do. Amen. He knows what things tick and how things work. He knows. You got to get over in that area. See, we like to, the things that we're supposed to do, we're trying to have our hands on the stuff we're not supposed to do and instead of having our hands on what we're supposed to be doing. Let's get our hands on things. Let's get ourselves set. I tell you, there's revelation that we need in the church. Start talking to God about what you need to know. What you need to know. God, if you're not sure what you need to know, talk to God about it. Say, God, start putting things in my heart. Now, He'll put them in your heart. Don't go looking in your head. Your head will think one thing today and tomorrow you're thinking something else. Something changes and your head's over there tomorrow. And the next thing you know, you're spending your dime. It's on the inside. See, I've learned listen on the inside. I could tell for over a year I've not been satisfied. I have, people have been talking, we've had prophets prophesy and stuff and saying, but in the inside of me it's like, something's going on here. Something's not right that I don't know. There's something, somehow I'm not hooked up. I didn't feel like it. I'm doing wrong, but I just know there's something, a revelation that I need. Something I need to know where God is moving and do it. And you know what? And I found there's no satisfaction till you get there. You can try through all kinds of things and doing natural things to whether what you ever want, money, houses, lands, cars, and it won't take that away. That'll stay in there all the time. That glitch. It's like a glitch in there that just, you can't get past that glitch. It's like, boy, everything all is really nice. I ought to be happy. And I'm not. There's something missing. I believe that's most of the misery of people today right in the earth. I think that's most. They think it's the government. They think it's Biden, and it's not. It's that they check. It's their own spirit. There's in their own spirit something ain't connecting. Which means this. And I will give you, here's a solution. It's about God. God is inside you. The Holy Spirit wants to bring something across to you, and He's trying to convey something to your spirit, and you're not picking it up. And until you do, you're just going to keep having that inside of you. Something ain't clicking. Something's not clicking here. Something's not. Now, folks, it may not be. It's not a matter of being sin or anything like that. I didn't feel that I'd done some great sin, or I just knew that somehow I wasn't picking up what God was trying to convey. And why? Because generally around me, all the church world wants to keep doing the same. They're mad because the government won't let them do what they have been always doing. They don't realize the government ain't been the problem at all. It's been God. They just want to keep following the same thing, doing the same. Let's keep beating the same wagon. Why? We've made money out of doing that stuff. Things have worked. We've liked it the way that it was. Hallelujah. God has something greater for us. And we're going to enter that greater. Hallelujah. We're going to go to something, I'm going to tell you what, because you were going to not find that there's going to, anything in this world is going to give you the satisfaction that you need. And that's what God holds in the hope of His glory. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy. Nothing else is. God's calling us to the fullness of redemption. That's what He's calling us to. And the church has the brakes on. The church wants to stay and just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. We like it here. We're doing it this way. No. Hallelujah. It's time to want to leave. Amen. Now you're going to have ministers are going to stand up and say, oh, you just want to escape. I'm sorry. I didn't decide on the program. God did. God is the guy who started the escape thing. These guys speak against God. They speak against God. God put it. Poor old Paul was an escapist. He wanted to leave. But see, these guys are more mature. Why are they got their jets and big houses and all their stuff? They're happy. Their satisfaction's in their flesh. I don't want to leave. We're making money. We got stuff. Hallelujah. How much more glorious would it be to be like Jesus? Hallelujah. Well, that'd be hard to take, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. To be like Him. To never, I just can't imagine never again to be tempted. Never to go through the, never have flesh again that's trying to head that way while you're trying to head this way. Never running around with desires of things you shouldn't have desires for. Never fighting that. Those battles end. Why wouldn't we want to go? See, that's not with me. Why are we so upset when a Christian dies? The only thing that makes me mad, we didn't go with them. It's like, dear God. You know? Dear Lord. When somebody leaves, it's like, it should be jealousy. Not for us. Not getting upset. Hallelujah. They're a saint? Dear God. Hallelujah. But those saints in heaven are waiting to come back. I'll tell you, the family in heaven and earth are going to be united shortly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How wonderful that's going to be. The full redemption. And for us, the church, generally, from a general standpoint, with the salvation, it's complete. It's done. We're not looking for something else for us. It's over. See, a lot of people are looking for other stuff and looking for things, but it's over for us. We're like God. I mean, God ain't looking for something better. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have communion this morning. We want to think about this. Think about Jesus. Now, we take communion. When Jesus established communion, he established it and gave the bread. And he said, this is my body which was given for you. Now, but I want you to think about Jesus' body today. He gave that physical body so you could have a redeemed one. Why wouldn't we want that redeemed one? Now, a wonderful thing we do have, we have healing in our bodies on this side because of Him giving His body. But there's better than healing for your body. There's a new one. There's a glorified body. Woo-wee! Oh, my, my. Hallelujah. You know, we're on this side and we're standing by faith, you know, and, you know, really the Bible tells us the only fight that we have, it ever mentions the church has, is the good fight of faith, it says. But you know, faith is a fight. Did you know that? Did you ever notice you have to do that? Because doesn't everything run contrary when you're standing in faith and all the circumstances are always running the other way at you? Do you ever notice that? You got a problem and you wake up in the morning and it's still there. And you say, praise God, I believe I'm healed. Thank the Lord, I'm done. Praise God, I'm healed. Hallelujah. And then you limp out of bed and you just, but you praise God. He took my infirmities and bore. It's the fight of faith. Hallelujah. We're walking by something we believe. We stand till it arrives. But there's a fulfillment of redemption by faith where that never happens again. Hallelujah. That you have a glorified body. Hallelujah. You know, I can't even get in my mind to imagine what that's like. I just, you know, it's like, see, we only know from this side. And you know, even we see the word, it's like, oh, my God, that's true. That we know it's true. It's like, it's just hard to imagine that it's going to be that good. Amen. It's going to be that glorious. You know, we have, no matter what we believe for on earth, we think is so wonderful. And you talk about it, you know, my word, somebody goes out here and we're glad when they pave a road and they got gold streets. God, heaven's got gold streets. And we think it's just exciting. We could drive our car on a smooth road. And they're gold. No, just think about it. I mean, is God to glory in what God looks at for His people, what His plan is for His people? It is so out there, so beyond what you can imagine in your mind. You know, the normal of heaven is so outlandish. We can't, on this side down here, we can't imagine what that would be like. You know, people, you know, write their little things of what they think things would be and what they are, you know. We can only do it from this fallible side over here where we see with limitations. But they have no, you know, we're going to step into the place of no limitations. In fact, the scripture tells us that, you know, God has things that He's just going to wait to show us when we get over there. That there's things that we don't even know about here that He has planned for us. My God, just what I see over there would have been enough. Hallelujah. And it's time the church is going there. The church is leaving. Until the church leaves, I want you to get this, the rest of the Bible can't be fulfilled. Do you understand? The book of Revelation can't be fulfilled. There's all kind of things that cannot be fulfilled till the church. The Antichrist can't come into power till the church leaves. We're the one that the Apostle Paul wrote out, says when he who letteth lets, which is talking about. That's the church. We're the people, the Holy Spirit. We withhold. We're the light of the world. We withhold Satan. We withhold darkness from taking over this earth. It isn't until the church leaves. Satan can't. We have authority over Satan. We can cast him out. The Antichrist can't come to power with the church here. Mm-hmm. These people say the church going through the tribulation. My God, those people, I don't know if they ever even read the Bible. And I know Spirit-filled ministers teach that. I don't know what spirit they got, but they ain't got the one I got.
Amen.
God ain't going to turn around and sick the devil on the church. He's done sick the church on the devil.
Hallelujah.
That's what he did. Hallelujah. And it ain't till we're gone, till any of it's going to change. Hallelujah. We're the vessels right now that are holding time up. The church is. Nothing goes beyond the church age. It's going to happen till the church leaves. All the rest of it's fulfilled, folks. The Messiah already came and did all the rest of it already. There is no more. People say, what else there is to do? The revival and the church leaves. That's it. There's not anything else. The rest of the Bible is on hold till that event takes place. It's on hold. All the rest of it. The book of Revelation. It ain't coming till church leaves. The rest of it, it's all on hold. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when the Lord told me, He said the church, mankind was His key to put sin away forever. We're the key. And the church is the mankind that He used. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank You today. Lord, as we come to these elements of communion, we want to thank You, Lord God. Lord, we don't want to look at them as just, this is part of a ritualistic ritual that we do or something. Lord God, these things are life to us. And Lord God, they're reminders to us of the life that we have. The life that's been given to us freely because of the love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Father God, we take them, Lord God, with great respect and honor toward Jesus. And thank You, Lord God, as we take these elements, Lord God, we desperately need revelation. We desperately need to understand and comprehend, Lord God, Lord, Your plans and Your purposes for this day and time for us. Hallelujah. For the body of Christ. Lord God, we want to fulfill Your plans and purposes that you gave these communion elements for to begin with. Hallelujah. The salvation, the great authority that You gave the church. Hallelujah. And our reminder of Your great work, Jesus, and the power of Your blood that is working mightily today. Hallelujah. So we thank You, Father God. We take these things with great respect, and Holy Spirit, You're the teacher of the church. Instruct us. There are so many things we don't understand. Bring us revelation of this time and day that we're in. Our place to stand in Christ Jesus. Our full redemption in Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, our catching away and caught together with You, Lord God. Lord God, that we would fulfill our part in our plan. Hallelujah. That You have set forth in Your Word. And we thank You for revealing those things to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.